The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Or your grandma here with us, making carne asada.
She does love a cold Corona.
Throw in some dancing.
Oh, we can watch the game.
I'll drink to that.
So a backyard concert with football, food, dancing, and Corona?
And your grandma.
Or we could keep it simple.
Simple is good. Want a Corona?
Thanks. Salud to the perfect day.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'll tell you what, man, my heart is heavy and my stomach is at knots because of the news of the passing of Chris Mortensen. My one-time and long-time colleague, actually two-time colleague, and I consider a friend, just somebody who... you know, in many respects, Michael, you know, he was to me at ESPN what you were to me at the Boston Globe, as in he was a friend, he was a mentor, he was a colleague. He was one of the best teammates that I've ever had and that anybody's ever
had. Explain it, because I've heard people say that. I've heard people say, tell me why. Like, what? Give me some examples.
Sure. He was much more about the we than the me. His concern was, as big a deal as he was, he never carried himself with an ego. And in this business in general, the sports media business in general, but specifically in the insider game, it can be cutthroat. You know, it can be really cutthroat. I mean, where people are more concerned about getting the glory and getting the credit than they are about team success. He was all about ESPN's NFL coverage being top notch and us getting the story right, whether his name was on it or not. And I would even fast forward to the last 2 years, you know, with Amazon Prime Video and Thursday Night Football. You know, I've held the title of news analyst, but Mort was always a phone call away for me as a resource, as a sounding board. Never hesitated to share notes or information. Just an unselfish dude. And, you know, I would say, but going back to when I started at ESPN, the reason I liken them to you is like, well, even before then, because I know I'm like a lot of people who watched them for years and years. And once it became apparent to me, to young Michael Smith, that I was not going to be like Mike, I wanted to be like Mort, okay? Like, I wanted to be that NFL insider. I wanted to, I loved nothing more, you notice, than watching all 12 rounds of the NFL draft over the weekend on Saturday and Sunday before it became a Thursday, Friday, Saturday thing. Loved watching the entire draft, lived for the NFL draft, and therefore consumed a lot of Chris Mortensen's information and content. But what I always loved about Mort, and you as a journalist, I saw the same thing in you and modeled my game after yours as well. I feel like one of those prospects. Who do you model your game after? Michael Holly, Chris Mortensen. It's like, yeah, it's like, you know, I'm 44 at this point. I've done modeling my game, but you know, but at this point in my life, very impressionable, and I'm watching how Mort, the thing I always loved about Mort is Mort wasn't one of these guys that was obsessed with being 5 minutes early with a transaction. He wasn't somebody who was just worried about being first with the story. Hell, he wasn't even playing in the game of like, you know, he had his, don't get me wrong, he broke his fair share of trades and cuts and obviously retirements. Peyton Manning comes to mind. But Mort was more about the story, you know, the insight, you know, the information, the story behind the story. Mort always made you feel smarter. And that's because of the relationships and how he made people feel. I could, you know, that, because that's the old saying, people remember how you made them feel. Chris Mortensen made a young Michael Smith feel like he belonged, feel respected, feel valued. He made me feel, you know, like I was on his level, quite honestly. I'm 24, 25 years old, covering the NFL with Mort, John Clayton, and Lynn Pasquarelli. One of these kids is not like the other. Okay, you know, and I'm a national NFL insider, having just, you know, come from the Boston Globe covering the Patriots. It's like, Mort could have easily shunned me, and there's a lot of cats who might have, or who did, if we're being honest. You know,
Mort could have easily,
Mort could have easily, like, you know, seen me as competition or a threat, or, you know, made me pay more of my dues than I already had. Instead, put his arm around me, you know, looked out for me. I could genuinely say that that dude looked out for me. And I know I speak for a lot of people. He looked out for a lot of people in this business. He's not only universally respected, he's universally admired and loved. Like, I don't know anybody that's got a bad thing to say about Chris Mortensen. And that's hard in this business, you know, because you make a lot of friends, but you also make a lot of adversaries as well. But everybody seemed to love Mort. And he was like, he was a glue guy, man. Like, you know, that's at a time in an industry and at a place in particular, that's not always friendly. It's like everybody kind of just rallied around Mort, man. I had that feeling that you get when somebody passes on. I was like, damn, I wish I'd have called him one more time more recently, you know? Cause again, like, These last 2 years with Amazon is like, you know, because he was working behind the scenes with Amazon. And so I'm thankful for that, because it allowed us to get even more connected, to get reconnected. But, you know, I just wanted to cover the league the way Mort covered the league, you know. And by that, I mean, obviously, you know, have my own style, my own voice. But by that, I mean, as somebody who just made viewers and listeners better, and readers better and smarter. And still maintain the respect and the credibility within the league with the people that he covered. But he just was such a good dude to work with, man. Like, you know, and I'm at a point in my life, Mike, and I know you are too, where it matters way more, not where I'm doing what I'm doing, but with whom I'm doing it. Is way more important. Yes. And I look back and I value the experience of working with a guy like Chris Mortensen. Like, I got a chance to, like, work alongside him. Like, he's a legend in this game. I got to learn from him, got to talk to him, got to confide in him, got to get, you know, counsel from him. He just was a solid, solid dude. And I'm my condolences to his family, his friends, his loved ones, his extended family, his colleagues. Again, of which I am one, but, you know, I'm at peace knowing that he is resting in the arms of his father, you know, of his Lord and Savior. Like, he was just, yeah, he was
and strong,
he was
in his faith,
one,
too.
And he was a good one.
You
he
talk
was,
about
yeah,
that?
That's what I'm saying. He was a real one. He was a good one. Just a solid, solid dude. You know, who, like I said, I'm proud and honored to have been able to call my friend. And if I could be even a fraction of the reporter that he was, an insider that he was, then I was doing something, because he set the standard, Mike. He set the standard for sure.
And all those things you say about his work is true, and we all know that as football fans, not even as journalists, commentators, just football fan. You're a football fan. And you're of a certain age, you just remember, you know, just waiting for that Mort report. You know, what is he going to say? What does he have to say about this? If something happened during the week, you want to hear his take on it. If you're wondering about a situation, you want to hear his take. He would break news as well. Just did a little bit of everything. But I think for us here, anybody who's in our business, what you said about him as a teammate and as a mentor and as somebody who looked at the business, that's something for us all to strive for. Like, if you're doing this, that's something to strive for, because a lot of that is lost. And some people who are listening to us, who are interested in the business, they have no interest in doing what Mort did. They have no interest in that because the business has changed. And there were people, or lots of people, who got into the business at a certain time before it merged a bit, before, you know, before you had writers and radio people and TV people and podcasters and streamers and everything all in the same stream. There used to be a separation. So with the merge, there have been a lot of opportunities, which is good. There's a lot of money, which is good. But some people who are in it for the trappings and the profile and the money, which is not good. So I just think it's good to remember you're here to tell a story, to find the story, and help somebody who needs a little bit of a boost. You're here to help the next generation. So I think we should remember that. See, he modeled it seemingly from day one, and I think we can learn from it.
Yeah, no, dude did it for any and everybody. There's a lot of people that's got the same type of testimonial that I do, to whom he has meant a lot to their careers. I'm not alone in that number. And it was just because it was the right thing to do, to your point. It wasn't because he was looking for anything from me. It wasn't because we had some kind of history or other than like, yo, you're on my team. Like, how can I help? How can I be of service?
That's great.
He had a servant's heart, and gave me a respect that I had not yet earned. You know, I had nowhere near the bylines or the experience he had, but yet treated me as an equal from day one. Probably my favorite assignment. What would that have been? What was the CBA year? Was it 2000?
Lockout?
11?
2010, 2011. Yeah, 2011.
Okay. Yeah, I remember being in D.C. with him. This was when Robert Kraft and I think it was Jeff Saturday embraced outside the NFLPA offices. I remember being in D.C. with him covering the lockout. You know, spent a lot of time with him on the road, spent a lot of time with him in Bristol, obviously, spent a lot of time on the phone with him. I'm going to miss him. And speaking of the phone, it just, you know, it's just another example of like, yo, make that phone call, man. You know, no man
exactly.
Know with the day nor the hour. Make that phone call.
Yes.
Send that text, you know, because I'd love to pick his brain again, if I could. I'd love to pick his brain about the combine. As we transition into an event that he helped make what it is, like he covered and he worked with the best of them. I'm sure he had a lot of shrimp cocktails at St. Elmo's and a lot of meals at P.F. Chang's and walked the streets of Indianapolis looking for scoops. So, yeah, man, like I would love to know because there was no shortage of storylines that came out of the combine, starting with the presumptive number one pick, Caleb Williams.
You said the number one, and then you changed it to the presumptive number one.
Hey, man, look, stuff. Number one pick. Look, he's certainly walking in that. He's acting like it. Props to him. I love it. Like, he is like, ain't no plan
B. I put the work in for it. That's really the plan. That's what I'm trying to do, y'all.
I only qualify it because you and I both know that you never know.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I qualified it. It's old habits die hard. It certainly seems like it's leaning that way with the Bears taking Caleb Williams at number one overall. I enjoyed Caleb Williams' combine performance. And somebody said, well, what do you mean? He didn't do anything. You know, he didn't participate in anything. I love the fact that he showed up and he upset the natural order of things. He's an agent of chaos. You know, it's introducing a little anarchy, you know, like, no, but in all seriousness, seriously, because like, haven't we spent years talking about how unfair this system is? And I'm a draft nerd, draft nut, draft nerd, but plenty of people,
as are you,
of people have talked about how unfair this system is, how antiquated the combine is, and antiquated is frankly putting it nicely, Some have gone so far as to liken it to the auction block. But plenty of people have talked about the need for change when it comes to the scouting combine, the need for change when it comes to the economic system and the relationship between team owners and players, how the pie is shared. And so I'm watching Caleb Williams and how he's moving. And, you know, listen, he's not the first, ain't nothing new under the sun. He's not the first guy to not throw at the combine. Hell, he wasn't the only top quarterback prospect in this combine not to throw. But there seems to be a level of angst and tension around the way he's moving and the way he's speaking, or the way he is, he or his father for that matter, or maneuvering behind the scenes, that has people on edge. And I'm here for it. I'm here for him. He doesn't have an agent, but he could still be an agent of change. And I'm here for somebody having agency and ownership over his process. Because I think way too much is made of a guy choosing not to fall in line, as if NFL royalty has, as if NFL royalty has not decided, I'm not going to play in San Diego, or I'm not going to play in Baltimore. You know, as if there's not a precedent. And he hasn't even said this. He has come out and said, I don't care about the Bears' history or lack thereof at quarterback. I'm here to rewrite history and make my own history. So he has not even said where he is or isn't going to go in accordance with the draft process. Maybe my man just wants, I don't know, inquiring about equity, because maybe star players should. I'll get to this guy in a moment. But if the owner thinks enough of the quarterback to sit in on the combine meetings, talking about Josh Harris, then it stands to reason, and the quarterback has always been an extension of management anyway, then it stands to reason that maybe the quarterback should be entitled to a piece of the pie. Maybe more star players should be entitled to a percentage of the salary cap. And this, again, I'm not breaking new ground here. This is an ongoing conversation. I'm just saying I'm here for a guy upsetting the natural order of things, or upset or bucking the system. You know, maybe he should be asking about how he can get equity share in a team. I don't mind it. This is a new generation. This is a new day. As we, you and I like to say, we don't roll like that no more, dog. That day is dead. This is a $10+ million a year NIL guy coming out of USC. And so I think this combine for him was less about the business of showing against air and in underwear what we've seen on film for the last several years at USC. I feel like it was way less about that and more about simply, do people like him? Do people like Caleb Williams?
Yeah.
Do teams like him? And it only takes one, obviously. Do the Bears like him? Do media members like him? Do fans like him? Do wannabe Chris Mortensens and insiders everywhere like him? Because it's like, he's already handled the business side, and the business is going to take care of itself. There was nothing for him to prove at the combine, nothing for him to show at the combine, nothing for him to gain at the combine. Like, you're the number one pick. You can't gain anything, you know, higher than number one, right? It's really this, the commentary around him at this point is so much less about the football, and it's more about, are you feeling this dude or not? It's really that simple. And I think the people who have concerns about him, and I'm not saying there aren't legitimate concerns about him from a football standpoint. I get the criticisms about him not playing in structure as well as he does off schedule.
That's a criticism?
I get that there are a lot of that probably had to do with his supporting cast or lack thereof. I'm saying, like, he's not a perfect prospect is what I'm getting at. But it feels like a lot of the commentary and a lot of the coverage around Caleb Williams has long since stopped being about the player and more about how he's playing the game, capital T, capital G.
Well, yeah. I'm glad you went to the historical references. You know, John Elway at Stanford played for his dad and didn't want to play for the then Baltimore Colts. He did not want to do it. And he even threatened to, he's a baseball player, he threatened to play for the Yankees. That wasn't happening, but he threatened it. It was enough leverage to get the Colts to trade him to the Broncos. And before we get to Eli, you talk about Eli and Archie setting that up. of like, hey, Eli, we don't want you to go to the Chargers. We want to put you somewhere else. Even before that, people forget that Peyton Manning had an opportunity to come out of Tennessee a year early. He had an opportunity. And the Jets had the number one pick. And the speculation is he did not want to play for Bill Parcells and the Jets. So he held on in Tennessee and then wound up in Indianapolis in 1998. So, look, quarterbacks have always the prospects who are worth it, whether it's Bo Jackson, too, just like when they got power, it's very rare that you're going to hold on to that power the majority of your career. Use and exercise that power when you have it. And Caleb Williams has it right now. He does have power.
Has a quarterback, a quarterback who looked like him had this kind of power or exercised it.
No.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, they have not. And that also factors in here. Because I know the NFL doesn't like anybody of any complexion. Whether you've been kissed by the sun or not, the NFL does not like you to say, well, I don't know, I'm not really feeling that. The way you've done this for years and years and decades, I don't really like it. But for a young black man to do it, I'm sure that has raised some eyebrows, furrowed some brows, turned some stomachs. But I'm not even getting into Caleb Williams, Michael, and his suggestion at one point that hey, maybe needs a part of ownership. I'm not even getting into the equity of it. Simply, he knows he's going to be at worst, the third pick in the draft. And that's a stretch.
Yeah.
And so why are you here? I'm totally on board with this. Whether you like Caleb Williams or not, why am I going to stand here in my underwear and allow myself to be poked and prodded by all of these folks for every team in the league when every team in the league is not going to draft me? I'll do it for three.
Let's be realistic about this.
I'm doing it for I'll do it for three, and maybe.
And is he doing
anything? I'm not crazy about that.
Is he doing anything that NBA players haven't done for years when it comes to the draft process?
Well, people don't like it. And they don't like that with NBA players either. Like, It's so interesting that people who in their normal lives with their own jobs, with their own careers, feel like they should have a say in what goes down and like what's best for them. But then if they start looking at other people's careers in sports, a lot of times they take an issue. What's wrong with these guys? Where do they get off? The entitlement. What's wrong with it? Let's go back. Old school guys wouldn't do that. No, they couldn't. And now when you can... Yeah. Take advantage of it if you can. Everybody in this draft class can. You know, there's some guys who don't know if they're going to be drafted in the third round or the fifth round. So they will march along and they'll do everything that's expected. Caleb Williams knows that he's going to be a day one guy. He's going to be a first hour guy. And so he is moving
first 15 minutes
like that. Yeah.
You know, remember back in the day?
I think, the other thing I'm saying is, I'm glad he's having the conversations with people, because what happens is when you don't talk a lot in the media, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you talk a lot in the media, it's, hey, why don't he shut up? He always got something to say about this. Why don't he just like focus on the game? So you can talk too much for some people. But if you don't talk that much, like Caleb Williams doesn't, now people, you allow other people to come in and kind of create your story. And I'm glad that he was there to say, no, here's my story.
And he handled it.
This is who I am.
He handled it beautifully. He handled it with poise and professionalism. So remember back in the day, it was like, you know, Pepsi, the choice of a new generation. Remember that slogan?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, Caleb Williams is in many respects the face of a new generation, because like these dudes get paid for their time now. These dudes don't do a whole lot for free. I'm talking about the star college players. If things are not going according to plan, they transfer. B, because I thought about Cam Newton for a second. Or even think about Johnny Manziel boycotting the Heisman ceremony until Reggie Bush gets his trophy back. You know how stupid the controversies And they were dumb at the time because we knew how much money Reggie Bush was making for USC and Cam Newton for Auburn, respectively. Like, we knew how much they were making then. Look at how dumb those controversies and those scandals look with the benefit of hindsight and how far we've come since the days of Cecil Newton taking money for allegedly for Cam Newton in his recruiting process. Like, that's standard now, okay? So these NIL kids, NIL kids don't show up for free. And they also realize that the bigger a show the NFL makes the combine, the bigger a television production the NFL makes the combine, the more valuable their appearances are. The more, you know, so they don't, for all the football reasons you talked about, 32 teams ain't drafting me. So 32 teams don't need my medical history. Or I have nothing to gain by throwing. That's all well and good from a football standpoint. From a pure business standpoint, because I think about a guy like Marvin, I think about a guy like your man Marvin Harrison. Sure, plenty of people rolled their eyes. Surprise, surprise, Marvin Harrison's kid didn't want to talk to the media.
How great is that?
Shocker. Shocker. Yeah. But who knows why?
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. Right on brand. Right. That felt poetic. But I'll give it back to you by saying this. You use the word entitled, and a lot of these kids get tagged with a sense of entitlement. Going back to Morton, going back to the reporter that I've always tried to be, and I know you are as well. I never felt like I was entitled to anybody's time, to access to anybody. I never walked around feeling like somebody owed me anything, owed me the time of day. Now, some may say, well, hey, the reason you're able to make this kind of money is because of you know, you're selling the game, you're growing the game. I hear you. But I'm not going to sit up here and rip a kid to shreds if he chose not to show up, which he's not contractually obligated to do. And look it up. I didn't rip Marshawn Lynch when Marshawn Lynch was there, so he didn't get fined. I didn't have a problem with that either. Because you know what I do in those situations? I go to the next podium. Or the next podium.
Yes.
Or I go and pull somebody aside the way Chris Mortensen did and get exclusives. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like,
so
the crowd
so
is
whether
over
it's
there.
Caleb Williams, right.
Let's go.
They're zigging, I'm zagging.
Yep.
So whether it's Caleb Williams or Marvin Harrison, it's like these new dudes are playing the game differently than it's always been played. And you know, what like it or not, a change gonna come.
And the funny thing about it, Michael, is that the coaches are starting to change too. There are a lot of coaches who aren't
there. They don't go. Entire staffs don't go. So, they don't think it's worth their time.
Really?
Because we can get more done at home.
I think this is the time.
Or maybe they're saving the money.
If we're trying to preserve the meaning of it, if we're trying to preserve some aspect of the combine, I think everybody should sit down and have representatives from all sides, whether it's the players or the coaches or the combine organizers themselves. I think representatives need to get together and say, hey, what works for everybody? What works where everybody could be comfortable? And we kind of update this thing that hasn't been updated in a long time. Because even for coaches, like, so I understand what the coaches are saying. And they said it before they didn't show up. I mean, I remember Bill Belichick always rolling his eyes about the combine. You know, whatever. It, you know, this thing doesn't matter. This is a waste of time, all that. But they still would go. Like, even if the coaches feel like it's a waste, well, tell us how we can make it worth your time. If the players feel like, hey, this certain aspects are just, I'm not feeling this part of it, tell us how we can make it. So does it need to be shorter? Does it need to be longer? Does the medical part need to be more secluded? Like, what is it that will make this combine functional and modern? Because if I say to you right now, give me your medical information for a job. I mean, even for a job, you're like, what? Excuse me? Like, if I say it, you might. If 20 other Jamokes say it, you're like, well, what the hell is this? What's going on here?
I get Caleb Williams pulling a power play in that category or in that department. But like your medical history is paramount and critical to the job you're about to perform.
It is paramount to it. But I'm saying, is it paramount? Is it paramount at this stage of your career? Because what happens when guys get traded? When guys get traded, like 5 years in, if you want to make a trade. You do want to make a trade. I know you do. But if you're a general manager, you want to make a trade with somebody, you exchange medical information because this is relevant to your franchise. It's relevant to mine. Okay, here we go. Right. But it ain't relevant for everybody right now. So why the hell do the Kansas City Chiefs need Caleb Williams' medical information? Why do the Buffalo Bills need it?
I don't even know if they want
it. Why do the Cincinnati Bengals need it? So I don't know. I can understand like some hesitation there.
Oh,
and
sure.
Yet,
okay.
One day they
it.
Might, one day he might be employed by them. Well, when we get to that day, then we'll give you the files. But right now, like, why everybody got my information? It's just kind of weird.
I got
it's weird.
No, I hear what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. It's more about you're not talking about the value of the information. You're talking about the way it's disseminated and shared. I got you.
I
follow you.
Right. Everybody don't need to have it. Down. We don't need this to be in the group.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Don't need to be in the group chat.
So, you know, again, going back to Marvin Harrison, his game does the talking. I'm sure he'll spend plenty of time talking. I wasn't bothered by Marvin Harrison not showing up to speak to the media.
I was curious, though. I wasn't bothered. I got to say, I was curious.
I'm going to. Why? I mean, but who? Right. But again, I don't know that he needs to explain it. I don't know. I mean, like, maybe. Again, I'm getting with the times. Maybe he just wasn't feeling up to it. Maybe he just wasn't feeling up to it. Because I'll tell you what, the last thing I want is to waste my time listening to somebody that don't want to be there. Give me the dude, because there's got a lot of dudes that want to be there. A lot of dudes that want to tell their story. A lot of dudes that embrace that stage or that podium. If he was going to come and half-ass it, which would belie his reputed work ethic, then... good, stay home. Maybe he has something going on in his personal life. Maybe he was working on, because apparently, reportedly, I think it was your man Albert Breer was talking about he wasn't training for the combine. Like, he was training for the season. Whereas a lot of guys get ready for combine drills this time of year, he's getting ready for the season. All I know is, like, part of his appeal is that he's Marvin Harrison's kid. Nobody ever questioned Marvin Harrison's work ethic. Or his professionalism.
That's true.
Or his dedication to his craft. So,
but this is why I'm curious.
I don't care if he was unprofessional by not showing up to a combine media availability. Yes.
And I wouldn't even go there. I wouldn't even say like, oh, shame on the kid for not doing it. He's a great interview. That's why
he
I'm
seems
curious.
Like a good kid. Yeah. Like, yeah, he seems like a good kid.
Whereas
like a fun kid.
Marvin Harrison was not a great interview.
Right.
Is not. Now, maybe is now, but when he played...
Yeah,
not,
you know what?
So
debunk that.
But Marvin
debunk
Harrison
that.
Jr. is.
But debunk that. Because physically, he's bigger than his father. He's not... He's got the genetics, but he's not a carbon copy of his father. His father was the original Slim Reaper. His father was very slight coming out of Syracuse.
Feet, what, 180?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
185, somewhere in there? Not
right.
even.
But this kid is not only different physically... Debunk that, though, personality-wise. He doesn't carry himself exactly the same way as his father did.
Not at all. Great personality. just seems to be a teammate that everybody can embrace. Didn't complain one time. Let me just cape up for him here. I'm going to complain on his behalf because I'm still not over it. So let me just say, he didn't complain about the poor quarterback play at Ohio State last year with Kyle McCord. Take his ass to Syracuse where he belongs. He wasn't ready for the big time. So Kyle McCord throwing him ducks all season, and he's taking these lemons, turning it into lemonade, and getting himself to a top five position in the NFL draft. Didn't complain one time. Had a bad quarterback. Compare this to Jaden Daniels at LSU, who had not one but two top 15 receivers who he could look around and throw to, and Daniels himself, a top five guy. That wouldn't happen at Ohio State, and yet Marvin Harrison Jr. just did his thing and still,
I need you to calm
still
down.
Play like the best receiver. I'm so glad that Kyle McCord is gone, by the way.
I need you to calm down. No, more important, I need you to calm down because I don't want you, I don't want you taking Marvin Harrison with the second pick in our rookie draft in this dynasty league. You know, I'm hoping that you go quarterback.
I'm still considering.
And Marvin Harrison slides a little bit down the board to me.
Maybe he drops a little because he didn't talk to the media. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe we work out a deal. Maybe I trade up into that second spot.
I blocked your number.
I haven't even reached out to you. A lot of people once upon a time thought the combine was a waste of time in general because, hey, it's the underwear Olympics, as it's been called. But pardon my French. When a motherfucker runs 4-2-1, I mean, God damn. 4-2-1? 4-2-1. I've never.
I want to hear how they edit that together.
That's a Cat Williams 40 time. Cat Williams run 4-2-1.
Oh my goodness.
Unbelievable. So here's the thing. If you look at the history of some of the burners at the combine, a lot of them don't pan out in the NFL. Like, it is a who's who of who? Like, that's kind of what that list is at this point, right? In terms of most of the top times. The Chris Johnsons of the world notwithstanding.
This is nuts.
Having said that, when you look at this guy, but when you look at this guy at Texas, like,
he was good.
He's a good player. He's track fast and football fast. They're talking about seven or eight receivers in the first round. You're an NFL general manager, and you've been in draft.
Tariq Woolen's good though.
Tariq Woolen's good. DJ Turner's got a shot. They got some.
Chris Johnson.
Exceptions.
Back in the day.
Got some exceptions.
You remember John Ross? You know John Ross's claim to fame?
Being the last pick before Patrick Mahomes was drafted.
Exactly.
Going ninth before Patrick Mahomes. When Mahomes went 10th, you don't want your claim to fame being fastest 40 time in combine history because, like, that's not football, right? But I think the thing that Xavier Worthy seems to have going for him is he's a good football player. Not that John Ross wasn't coming out of Washington or any other guys weren't when they were in college. It's not an automatic. It doesn't automatically translate. Like, it's not, because you can run fast in a straight line, you're going to make it in the NFL. How do you value that is what I would wonder if you're an NFL general manager. How do you, because usually it's like, this is either confirmation of what we already knew from watching the film, or it's, something for us to go back and research, depending on how a guy, how he moves in these agility drills, or the testing is not the end all be all, but it matters. When you're talking 4-2-1, that's not run of the mill. That's exceptional, obviously. How do you value that if you're a general manager?
Okay, you know how you value
it. Impressed?
It's like,
how do you value?
It's entertaining. It's entertaining. It really is. It's cotton candy. That's all it is. It really doesn't mean anything. It's almost like we're the mixed sports here. We're talking about the dunk contest. It's just a show that doesn't really mean anything. And sometimes the dunk contest is not even a good show. But, okay, you ran a 4.240. I think what this is what I'm talking about when we mentioned revising the combine. In the three cone drill more indicative of what a receiver will do or what a football player will do in the league as opposed to the 40-yard dash? I mean, you're
talking
about
the guy you're talking
space.
About is Keon Coleman at Florida State, out of Florida State. Because if I'm not mistaken, poor 40 time, but crushed the drills.
Yeah,
crushed everything else.
It just doesn't happen that often where you're just, why 40 yards? Why 40 yards? It's just fun. It's not football. Okay, let's line up and race. And the first one to 40 yards, who's the fastest wins. Great. But that really doesn't determine anything in football. And so that's why a lot of these guys miss. Okay, what did Nacua do? In the 40 yard dash. He did not have a great time. And he wound up going, what, the fifth round? Was he drafted in the fifth round? Because his time.
He was drafted in the fifth round. Yeah.
You think about a guy.
Well, he's also hurt a lot at BYU. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think he's what, 6'2? He's got good size. It's like
Puka Nacua? Yeah, he's 6'2. He's 6'2, 210, 215, something like that. Yeah.
What are we talking about? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so a 6'2 guy, over 200 pounds, he can catch. But, you know, his 40 time was 4.6 or 4.5. I don't care. So I don't think it really means anything. It's a great show. I'm glad. Right. I heard one year that legend is when Deion ran it in Indy.
He just kept going.
Deion ran the 40 and then ran out.
He just kept going.
Of course.
He just kept going. Like, yeah, right.
And then Deion in the interviews was entertaining. You know, I mean, like this stuff. These are good for stories, but if I'm a general manager, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably ignore the 40 altogether. I'd ignore it.
I don't think it means everything. But when you're in this range, I think it means something. It gets your attention. Like if he was a borderline first round prospect, or he was a fringe first round prospect, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. Who knows? Like to me, this definitely like moves him up our board, if you will. Like one of those, like, wait a minute. Like, we see it on film at Texas. We've seen him be a playmaker at Texas. But now you factor in this kind of speed, like, it's like, okay, like, this is, again, it's exceptional. So, generally speaking,
he was fast,
I would not put a whole
lot. In Texas.
We knew he was fast. But, like, when you put a number to it, it's like, well, damn, you know? 4.21. Yeah, I mean, golly. Like, I just, yeah. But what else we got to get excited about, man? We ain't got no real football. We ain't got for real football going on, so we watching track.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll get excited.
We're watching track and field.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, I'm excited about him.
I like some of the interviews too. I do like some of the interviews from the players I heard over the weekend.
Yeah.
And so if you're a general manager, maybe that factors in too much, and you already referenced it. I don't know if you want to go ahead and dot that I or cross that T. Maybe if you're Josh Harris, owners, David Tepper, you spend so much time on how the guy presents himself that maybe you weigh that too much and you miss what kind of player he'll be. So
thank you for that. I know Josh Harris won Washington the moment he took over because he's not Daniel Snyder. I do not want my owner in the interview. Like, you mentioned David Tepper. Like, did they not learn, or did he not learn from David Tepper's involvement in that process, and how intentionally or unintentionally it tips the scales?
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what you don't know. You hire talented people and let them do their jobs. Adam Peters, who both you and I have known since he was in New England, Adam Peters does not need your help in evaluating these quarterbacks. He doesn't. Like, you don't hire Adam Peters away from San Francisco and then give your two cents on who you want to give millions of dollars to. Just cut the check. You just cut the check. Leave it to Adam Peters. Leave it to Dan Quinn. Just get out the way. Just sit down somewhere. Have a seat. Don't even be in the room. Don't even be in the room. You shouldn't even be in the room. Because you being in the room, you're going to form an opinion, and your opinion in this context is irrelevant. Your job is to cut the check and watch the profits roll in and hire talented people and put them in position to do their jobs well. That's your job. You already off to micromanaging. And we talked about it earlier, the quarterback being an extension of management. Sure, get to know him when it's appropriate. But sitting in on the interviews, no, because who gives two shits what you think about, oh, I thought he presented well. I thought, like, I don't, this is not your area of expertise.
I'm telling you.
So you know what? For different reasons and in different ways, this already tells me that the Commanders are headed down the same freaking path. Because Snyder did the same shit. Snyder did the same stuff. Snyder was a meddlesome owner. Does this not reek of a meddlesome owner? Like, I thought that's what we were trying to get away from in Washington.
All of them. All the new owners.
Early, yeah.
They do
Until they figure out. Yeah. Yes, like, all of
like,
them.
Why doesn't somebody tell them? One of these veteran owners.
All of them do it. Like, yeah.
Take it from somebody. If you don't trust them, if you don't trust hearing from an owner who's in your division or in your conference, take it from somebody in another conference. Why doesn't one of these veteran owners tell them, you know what, in your first year, just don't say anything. Just don't say anything. Don't say anything. Like, silence yourself. I am going to silence you for 90 days, okay? Silence him for, like...
The people loved this man. The people loved this man.
Oh, boy.
Oh, should we be joking about that?
I know.
I don't think we should be joking about that. Is that appropriate? Has a statute of limitations passed?
Yeah. I think we can joke about it now. I think we can.
All right. Okay. All right. I wish I had a flux capacitor. I wish I had a DeLorean. I wish I had a time machine to where I could go to the year 2054. And I could listen in on GOAT conversations. Listen in on the GOAT conversation in the NBA. And I want to know how future Michael Smiths and Michael Hollies, maybe they're robots, who knows?
Hope not.
But future versions discuss LeBron James. Will they talk about Michael Jordan the way that we now talk about Bill Russell and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who for previous generations, they were the GOAT. They were the greatest players ever. They were the greatest of all time. If you go back and you look at like newspaper columns, kids, look it up. There was this thing called a newspaper. Go back and look at newspaper columns. Go listen to radio conversation, if there was such a thing back then. I know there was radio, but I don't know how much talk radio there was. But, you know, it was Russell. It was Wilt, right? It was Kareem. It was Lew Alcindor and then Kareem, right? Because what are future people, or even aliens, maybe aliens come and take over this planet, and they're looking through the archives, and they're looking for time capsules. What are they going to say? They're going to say, wait a minute. So let me get this straight. It was one dude that scored 40,000 points in the history of the NBA.
At least.
To say... Right.
Because who knows?
Might be 50 when it's all said and done. Yeah, there was one dude that scored 40,000 points.
Yeah.
To say nothing of his of where he ends up on the all-time assist and, for that matter, rebound rankings. Scoring wasn't his first love. It wasn't even the thing he was best at. He won 4 championships. 4 MVPs, right? 4 league MVPs?
Yeah.
He got 4 league MVPs, right? Yeah, 4 league MVPs.
He does, yep.
His name is at the top of just about every record book, or every list. Never saw a player this consistently good for this long. And yet they said that Michael Jordan is the greatest? I'm confused, say the aliens, or say the say the talking heads in 2054.
Like, okay, okay.
Now,
this is interesting from you. This is interesting.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Keep going.
No, it's not. No, it's not interesting. It's consistent, because it is consistent.
Oh, I'm not criticizing you. I'm not.
No, I know you're not. I know you're not criticizing me. I'm saying what is coming to fruition is everything that I have been saying for the last several years. For the last several years, because I'm still Michael Jordan is the greatest. I am still Michael Jordan is the greatest. But I have long since said that LeBron James didn't win. He did not win the debate as much as he ended or transcended the debate. As in, that debate is pointless. See my Stevie Wonder Prince comparison.
Prince.
Okay? Like, I will not argue with somebody if they decide to tell me that LeBron James is the greatest, because at this point, I think it is practically inarguable that LeBron James has had the greatest career, or has put together the most impressive resume. You could chalk it up to longevity.
Okay, there we go.
Hell.
Yeah, yeah.
The greatest ability, the greatest ability is availability a lot of times. It's like his resume and his career.
His resume is longer.
What he has compiled.
Because I don't even know if he has a greater resume.
It's peerless.
His resume is longer.
Okay, fine. It's longer. You're right. It's longer.
Yeah,
it's longer. You're right. It's longer. Because Jordan's resume is practically perfect.
If you look at those 13 years, and pretty much half of those 13 years.
Touche. Thank you for clarifying that. This is not me diminishing Michael Jordan's resume. I'm saying in terms of the body of work is bigger. And so there is going to come a time, moral of the story is, there is going to come a time, which I had predicted, and I'm reiterating it now that he is the one and only member of the 40,000 point club, there is going to come a time when people talk about LeBron James the way people like me talk about Michael Jordan, where it's like, wait,
yeah,
you got to be kidding me. Jordan's the greatest, hands down, full stop, there is no argument. And I've talked about Jordan that way for the longest time. I remember one saying, if I'm doing some self-reflection, am I a prisoner of my own takes? Because I remember saying, when this conversation became serious, I remember saying, there is nothing LeBron James could do to change my mind on this. Is that why he can't change my mind? because I've determined that he won't change my mind, and now I'm dug in on this position, and no matter what he continues to do into his 40s, I'm like, no, it's Jordan. It's like I've just chosen to be immovable on this. I still think I'm right, and I believe I'm right I'm right. That is Michael Jordan. But somebody for 30 years from now is gonna be like, what the hell are y'all talking about? Like, look at the numbers. Look at his achievements, right?
I'm gonna tell you my view on this, but I'm gonna give you a quick aside first. Quick aside. Mm. What you just mentioned is could be a great short story or novel. The main character who's in prison. He thinks he's in prison, but he's just in prison by his own takes. And he can't get out of this prison. You know what I mean?
Right.
That is deep, man. I can do something with that. When I start writing fiction,
he got to Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. You
know? Mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Ooh. All right, look. This is why the aliens are going to be more like us than we think. The reason we look at Michael Jordan, and we're still talking about Michael Jordan. He retired in 2003, I think, for the last time. 2003. So we're talking about a generation ago. Michael Jordan is a player from a different generation. Yet, if you go to any TV studio, any public square or barbershop in these yet-to-be United States of America, if you go to any of those places and you go, LeBron is better than Jordan, Jordan's better than LeBron, people will argue like that. Like, they'll contort their faces. They'll be like spit coming out. Like, they'll be ready to fight over Jordan versus LeBron. And that's a player from a different generation. The reason Jordan, LeBron right. is connected like that, where Jordan and Kareem and Jordan and Russell weren't, because they were from it. It didn't translate. Like, it's easy for us right. to diminish the NBA of Bill Russell's NBA. You hear all the cliches. Oh, mm-hmm. how many teams yeah. did they have? Oh, right. Look, they look different. Like, the uniforms are different. The gear is different. The games are different. And in some cases with Russell and Wilt, and some, you have black and white. Now, there was color TV at that time, but later in Russell's career. But a lot of it is just grainy footage. Well, if you look at Jordan, even Jordan from the 80s, tell me one thing Michael Jordan did in 1993 or 1994.
Right. That ain't being done now. He was an alien. He was alien.
Yeah, he was.
He was from another planet. He was from another time. He was taken from the future.
If I watch it
into the 80s.
If I watch him now, if I watch Jordan 96 NBA Finals, I'm like, oh, that's dope. Like, ooh, yeah. not like, ooh, it's I can imagine dated. People at that time thought that was amazing. Right. No, that's amazing now. And so I right. think it's more equal but aesthetically. I think
I think you're right. But what I'm saying is the gatekeepers and the people conducting the conversation, the gatekeepers of this debate, if you will, are going to die off. That's where I thought you were going, because it's like, you know, like to... Kids right now are growing up watching LeBron's greatness. So who do you think they're going to say come 2054?
Well, what do they say now?
Was the greatest of all time.
Do they call him Michael Jordan?
Most of them. Young kids, I would imagine. I haven't polled them all, but.
Who's your son say? Who's your daughter
my
say?
Son's,
who, like, who,
my
son. Who's Mason think?
Well, they live under my roof. Okay, they live under my roof, you know. As for me and my house, okay.
So everybody says Jordan. They all say Jordan. They got to say Jordan.
Long as I
what happens when listen, they move out?
I mean, then they can make their own decisions, and then I'm not in charge of their decisions. But as I, long
I'm
as,
ta- it, let me add something else to like, you.
Yeah,
I'm gonna add something else crazy. Now. I was at the,
Kobe's my son's favorite player, by the way. Kobe's my son's favorite player. That's why my son wears 24.
I mean, look at him. Look at Jordan. Just look at him. I mean, the guy, the perfect high, the perfect height, like, the musculature. I mean, the style, like everything. It's perfect. It's perfect. Like, God, how could you not say Michael Jordan? Look at this guy. But I was at the game yesterday.
But wait a minute. But you've always been.
I know.
On the fence. I always thought you might have just been being contrarian.
Exactly. Just trolling.
Okay.
Just trolling.
Okay, good.
But
good.
I was at the Celtics Warriors game yesterday, if you want to call it that.
Okay. Right. Did you leave at halftime? Did you check out at halftime?
I did not leave. I stayed. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it. But I took a picture of this was a date. I just went with my wife, no kids, okay?
Nice.
I took a picture, though. I took a picture of Steph Curry, who was nearby. I sent it to the kids. And my oldest, Robinson, wrote back, the GOAT. He was like, the GOAT. So for a lot of people, is this era, you want to talk about the era? It's not just LeBron. It's not just LeBron and Michael. For a lot of kids now, like, people in the garden. People in Boston guard in Boston. They lost the NBA Finals to this team. People in Boston were disappointed yesterday because the game wasn't competitive. Steph Curry wasn't there for most of the second half. They wanted to see Steph Curry. Hey, everybody else got booed in intros. Every other Warrior booed Steph Curry.
You could if you choose to. So we're talking about LeBron James, who just became the only 40,000 point scorer in NBA history. Okay, who generally has been the guy held up to Michael Jordan's level, generally speaking. That's just conventional wisdom. You could easily substitute everything I'm saying about Steph Curry for different reasons. Steph Curry may not have the exact same body of work as LeBron James. His resume is impeccable in many respects. You could say, but the point still stands about, I think as time moves on, like Father Time will defeat Michael Jordan, the legend of Michael Jordan. There's a chance that he defeats the legend of Michael Jordan. When there are fewer and fewer people like us, like in the same way that maybe not,
I have a hard time thinking that people will not look back where
the torch hasn't been passed right now. People don't say Montana anymore.
Well, no, I'm saying like example
Babe Ruth anymore.
Well, we're in 2000, the equivalent of, tell me another sport. Other than basketball, it's happened to basketball, where we're in 2024 and we're arguing a modern player versus a guy who hadn't played in 20 years. Doesn't happen in baseball. Doesn't happen in baseball. Doesn't happen in football. It doesn't happen. Well,
I mean, to a certain extent. Maybe. Well, I mean, baseball, I mean, Willie Mays, for example, like in terms of greatest players people have ever seen, greatest living baseball player. No. Okay, listen. Pretty soon, it's going to be a long time since Barry Bonds played. I mean, I think King Griffey. I mean, there are still some people from decades ago whose names still, for lack of a better phrase, rings bells in these GOAT conversations. Yeah.
But these guys, like they're active. Yeah, you will check for them. You'll kind of name check them. They come up like, hey, how about this guy? How about this guy? But it's as if Michael Jordan played last night. The intensity of these LeBron debates.
And I think that's because of people like us who have seen the crossover, who have seen who saw him and saw Magic and Bird. I saw Michael at his peak and saw Kobe and now I've seen LeBron. I think generationally, the conversation, if it hasn't already shifted, it is definitely going to shift. And my central thesis is like what this man, like focus on LeBron, because this is his moment. Focus on what this man continues to do at this age and what he has done over the course of 20 plus years might never be done again. Or may never be approached. What if 30 years from now he's still the one and only member of the 40 or even 50,000 point club? I think the rationale for many of us for why Jordan is still the GOAT, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to disagree with that as time moves on. That nostalgia that imprisons a lot of us, because it's not only Jordan's ability and his accomplishments. A lot of it, I could admit, is nostalgia. That nostalgia will wear off as time moves on, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
And when you look back at what this guy has compiled and continues to compile, if there's a game against the aliens and we're facing the Monstars, damn straight I'm still picking Michael Jordan. Damn straight he's still the best player I've ever seen. He's still the best player I've ever seen. But I think... And all I'm doing is really repeating myself in a different way. I have said that this debate is over, not because LeBron won it, but because he transcended it. I don't think it's worth debating it anymore. And I think, and I'm adding to it by saying years from now, it will be in the other direction. It will be in the other direction for a lot of people who are watching this in real time right now. Speaking of GOATs, Last one I wanted to, we got to give flowers to. Oh, by the way, that game. Real quick, before we...
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Or your grandma here with us, making carne asada.
She does love a cold Corona.
Throw in some dancing.
Oh, we can watch the game.
I'll drink to that.
So a backyard concert with football, food, dancing, and Corona?
And your grandma.
Or we could keep it simple.
Simple is good. Want a Corona?
Thanks. Salud to the perfect day.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Move on to Caitlin. Have the Celtics just reached the point where people are out of answers until it's like, you know what, let's just throw this against the wall and see if it sticks?
It was a weird.
And it was
thing.
Like, you know what? Let's just let Jaylen Brown shoot and see how that works for us. Like, look, as somebody who I know what it is like to be self-checked. And speaking of Jordan, I don't care what Jaylen Brown said after the game, he took that personally.
The whole thing was personal. Now, fortunately, like, man, Mike, you know this. We start all talking about journalism. Let's end it with a journalism-like moment. You know, when you're in the building, something changes. So when you're in the building, you pick up things. People say things to you. You kind of pick up little strands, little string. I'm going to put that in my back pocket, little information, little nugget here, little nugget there. And I was there with Oni, and I told her, I said, look, when I covered the team and I pointed to midcourt, we used to be able to, we sat there. And then teams got smart and said, why are we giving away these high-profile, high-money seats to the media? Right. We're going to put them way up there, and we're going to charge for this. But one of the things I loved about covering the NBA is being courtside and being able to hear the conversations, diagnosing the plays, just like all sorts of things you pick up. So before the game, right before it started, I'm there. I'm watching Steph and Draymond. So Steph's doing this thing. Draymond runs down to Steph and says, welcome back to the Garden. Welcome back, referencing their clinching moment in game six at the Garden. It meant something to them. I was like, oh, this is good. Because I know it means something to the Celtics. They're still pissed off about it. And the Warriors, like, holding that over them. We are in your heads. Y'all don't know. No, I don't care what your record is. We know how to play y'all, and we beat y'all when it mattered. So they started off with this intensity, but then I saw the way they played Jaylen Brown. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with them? And Draymond, shame on him. Because Draymond, it wasn't a strategy. Draymond was playing some very...
disrespectful.
I don't want to use that word. No. Indifferent. You know what he was doing?
Okay, that's fine.
Now,
yeah.
I don't know if you could pick this up on TV. Instead of running at Jaylen Brown. Now, this is some stuff like, dude, are you tired? No. He stomped his foot. He kept stomping his foot. If you go stomp your foot, at least run to him then. Don't use the energy. He was stomping his foot on the floor like he was killing ants.
No, but it's like the kids do. If you don't stop yelling at people, that ain't defense. Ah.
That's what he was doing. Draymond did that at least three or four times yesterday. I don't know if the ESPN ABC cameras picked it up. I was like, shame on him. This man calls himself the best defensive player in NBA history, which he has. That ain't no defense. But anyway, look, they're on different levels now. They're on different levels. The Warriors are in transition. I know they won. They came in. They won 11 of 13.
The Celtics
They
have the fifth highest point differential in NBA history as of now. Third win by 50 or more points. That's a record. And the highest offensive rating in NBA history. Forget the Warriors. can anybody see the Celtics? And I know we've seen this movie before where they've been great in the regular season and faltered in the playoffs. Like, can anybody play with this team? Or is this one of those teams that's going to be like, oh, this is a okay, cool.
Yes, I'll tell you, good matchup for them.
If they the best emerge, player in the world? The defending champion,
if they
maybe?
Emerge, yep.
Hypothetically?
If they emerge from the West, I think that that would be a great series. Nuggets-Celtics, great series. Yeah, because the Nuggets have something that the Celtics, and shout out Kristaps Porzingis, but they got something that the Celtics really have a difficult time stopping, and everybody else does too. So that would be that'd be a great matchup.
All right, let's end with another bouquet of flowers to the all-time scoring champ in college basketball history. That would be Caitlin Clark. Did it on a free throw yesterday against The Ohio State University. I would say, man, like, the thing I appreciate, and I love GOAT conversations, and I love nuanced GOAT conversations specifically, because all it does is draw attention to and make you appreciate the predecessors. So I know there's been a lot of conversation about the apples to oranges comparison between Caitlin Clark, well, first of all, men and women, but Caitlin Clark and the era in which she's playing versus when Pistol Pete played, or, you know, for that matter, I mean, the education and the awareness and the spotlight on Lynette Woodard that's come from this pursuit of this record. Because it's like, when she was chasing Kelsey Plum, it's like, whoa, you technically are not the all-time women's scoring leader, because a woman by the name of Lynette Woodard was not recognized by the NCAA. We learned about the circumstances under which she thrived and excelled. You know, I believe she used the men's ball, for example, if I'm not mistaken. And then Pistol Pete, but they couldn't play as freshmen. Then they had the three-pointers. Like, it becomes a celebration of Pistol Pete Maravich. But none of this, to me, should be an asterisk. It should not disqualify. It should not diminish what Caitlin Clark has accomplished. To score more points than anybody else, man or woman, in the history of college basketball, if it was that easy, somebody would already done it, as the saying goes. Somebody would already, Pistol Pete's record has stood for quite some time, you know, make no mistake about it. And so, like, I like that people bring up the other people, because the other GOATs or the other scoring leaders, because it allows us to appreciate them, but it should not be used in any way to diminish or discredit what Caitlin Clark has done. Like, she got here fair and square, put the same ball in the same basket, you know, as anybody else, but just more so than anybody else. So congratulations to Caitlin Clark, what she is doing for the game. Not even just, like, bro, most expensive ticket in women's basketball history? Like, what she's doing for the sport, not just women's sports, but the sport?
What she's done for the sport.
For the she sport, is, for sport.
She is.
You know, it's sophisticated, not sports, sport. That's what they say overseas,
the sport.
For sport. What she's done for sport in general
she
is incredible.
She is the number one name in college basketball. She's number one name in college basketball. Not just women's college basketball. She is the number one name in men's and women's college basketball. What she's done for the sport is incredible. What she's done for modern sport and connecting us to the past, because I love her nickname. One of her nicknames, Ponytail Pete. So it's like her game is kind of is a Maravich-like game. The no-look passes, the wizardry, the ability just to score a bucket. And here's the other thing. Look, you talk about some people will look at it and scoff. You got to accept that those who know. And the critics, you can't even waste your time with the critics. Some people, you are not going to be able to convince them. I saw Asia Wilson, for example.
We just had a whole conversation, by the way, about NBA GOATs, and we never thought to bring up which stats were and weren't counted. We never thought to talk about the lack of a 3-point line, or, you know, the shot clock. Even I mean, it's just Go ahead. I'm sorry. You saw Asia Wilson. Tell me more.
No, I was going to say, I saw Asia Wilson. Asia Wilson answering some mail. You know, it's like kind of like people bring stuff up to her.
Mean tweets, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, you know, somebody said to her, oh, yeah, this, you know, a high school boys basketball team would beat y'all. And we're talking about, you know, back-to-back WNBA champions. And she's like, well, like, get out of here with this nonsense. But there's still people out there who believe that they're doing well for girls. They're doing well for young women. But if you bring up a state champion from Indiana or Georgia, a group of fresh-faced, you know, 15 and 16-year-old boys, that they were running the floor with them, they don't know. You can't convince them, folks. They don't know what they're talking about. So, really, Caitlin Clark is a baller. She's going to be the number one pick in the WNBA draft. Everything that she's
done.
We got
to move to Indiana.
In the college game. We're going to be privileged to continue to see that at the pro level. And that she doesn't. When she comes to the WNBA, there's going to be a lot of attention on her. Let's say it now. She didn't build the W. She's not responsible for it. Just like Jordan and LeBron didn't build the NBA. But we all take advantage of that next layer, that next dimension that they take the league to, that they take the sport to. So I look forward to that.
I
congratulations,
Caitlin
Clark.
Everybody can eat. We can celebrate everybody. Yeah. Like, obviously, she's not playing in the men's game. Obviously, she's playing in a different time and era and the different circumstances and rules than her predecessors. We can celebrate everybody. There's room to celebrate everybody. Doesn't have to be just one. We can love a lot of people, right? Let's just love more people. Let's not reduce it to got to choose one. Got to choose one. Got to pick one. Got to pick Jordan. Got to pick LeBron. It's like, you know what? You know, you ever seen this one?
I'm looking at the clock, and you
got
to go.
I got a herd. I got to go. It's time for me to go.
You
got to
go.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.